This audio presentation is the teaching of Jennifer Arcatola of New Hope East Hawaii. Today's message, entitled Laboring with the Lord, was delivered on September 6th, 2020. Here now is Jennifer.
I'd like to introduce Jennifer Arcatola. She's my wife, and she's going to be doing today's message. That's why worship team was all in purple. It's her favorite color.
All right, before we get started, those of you who need a daily bread, the new ones are available. They're up at the table. If you need us to send one to you, you can email or call or text Pastor Scott. Same email as was up for the tithes and offering. So, happy Labor Day weekend and good morning. 250 days have come and gone in 2020 so far. It's brought with it so much change, so much adversity and uncertainty, and perhaps one of the most ubiquitous causes of uncertainty has been COVID-19. It's brought with it loss of jobs, loss of loved ones, insecurity in our finances, the lack of comfortability in our surroundings. Some may even venture to say a loss of faith in our government. We need to remember to seek balance and seek the common ground. We need to ask ourselves what is most prevalent in all of this. What is the one thing that is and will remain the same yesterday, today, and forever? Jesus Christ. Now let's take a moment to fully understand why we celebrate and observe Labor Day. Now if you look it up on Google, it says that Labor Day is a public holiday or a day of festivities held in honor of working people. Yes. A day in honor of working people. One day that celebrates what seems like a gajillion hours that we spend laboring. Let's think about that for a second. So, if we work one job full-time, that's normally around 40 hours a week. Now multiply that by 52 weeks in a year, and that's around 2,080 hours of working. That's not taking into account those who work overtime and those who have more than one job, or especially the many, many hours that are worked by our brave servicemen and women, our doctors, nurses, police, and firefighters. All of which are overworked, but yet are always willing, always so willing to go above and beyond the call of duty to ensure our sense of safety, peace, and security. Now you add to that the hours that you work once you get home from work. You've got your kids, pets, laundry, dinner, distance learning now, homework, chores, the list goes on, and it's pretty exhausting. Now, there never seems like there's enough hours in the day to do all we need to get everything done. So who do I need to see about changing Labor Day into Labor Week instead? Because I think if we all had a full paid week off from work instead of just one day, then we'd really be able to rest, recuperate, and recharge for the next 300 somewhat days of labor. But I digress. Seriously, though, I want you to think about this. We may get to, and I emphasize get to, work what feels like a million hours. And at the end of the day, you know, we feel so exhausted, and at times even feel like we can't go on. But I want you to hear this. God never stops working. Just like that song that says, even when you don't see it, he's working. Even when you don't feel it, he's working. He never stops working. God never gets a holiday in which to celebrate the constant work that he does in, through, and for us. He is there working when you wake up in the morning, working in and through you while you go through your day, and he continues to work on and in you while you sleep. At the end of each day, we get to go home. We get to lay our heads on pillows and rest. He is still wide awake, preparing the days ahead, and not just for you, but for everyone. He's given us a book of instructions, and In it, he teaches us how to go about our days. So today, I'm going to cover five ways in which we get to labor in our everyday lives. Your first point this morning is labor in prayer. Every morning when you wake up, and again when you go to bed, pray. Pray and tell our Father in heaven just how very much you appreciate or appreciated the blessing of another day on this earth in which you get to serve him. Again, get to. Pray for his help, wisdom, guidance, and just peace for the day ahead. Pray for God's protection over you and your family. In the New King James Version, Ephesians 6, verses 11 and 12 says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against the flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." Our world now is one that is just churning in turmoil and unrest. Everyone is afraid of what is and what is to come. And I get it, it's terrifying. But like you've heard Pastor Scott say a million times, mostly referring to Shelby and my fears of lizards and his fear of spiders or my husband's fear of centipedes, God does not give us a spirit of fear and timidity, but one of power and of love and of a sound mind. So when you feel afraid and you're unsure of something, take it to the Father in prayer. Amen. Remember what it says in your instruction manual. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17 says, "Pray without ceasing." You may have heard of the many positive cases of COVID-19 up at the veterans' home. And they've been unopened to visitors for the last several months. I've not been able to see my grandmother, who is a resident there, and for months now, actually, and because of this. Last week, we got the news that she is now tested positive for COVID-19. I don't know what the road ahead holds for her and for the rest of us, but I immediately went into prayer and was comforted by God's mercy and peace. You see, prayers don't only need to be said at certain points of the day or in certain situations, but we must find our comfort and peace in him and remain prayerful at all times and in all things. Your second point this morning is labor in truth. How many times have we woke up in the morning wishing that we had gotten to sleep just a few more minutes, or grumbled about how the puppy had chewed up your shoes, or how you're going to be now late for work because your gas light came on and you won't make it to town, so now you need to stop in KL and put gas, the expensive gas. Okay, well, maybe that's all just me, but had I chosen to learn from wisdom instead of consequence, there would be no need for grumbling and disputing. Had I went to sleep earlier the night before, I would have felt more rested and recharged. Had I put my shoes away where they belonged when I got home from work the day before, instead of leaving them where the puppy could get to them, I wouldn't be searching for a whole new outfit because my other shoes don't match what I already had on. Had I listened to my husband and filled up gas after work the day before, instead of telling myself, "Nah, I get enough gas, I can make a hilo tomorrow," I wouldn't have been late for work, and I would have been able to come into work early, stop at each person's cubicle before they got there, and pray for their day ahead. I also wouldn't have been able to see how God had chosen those specific situations to grow me in the areas I am lacking. Had I chosen to sleep in, I would not have seen the sunrise that morning, and I would have missed Bible study at pastor's office before work. Had I worn the heels and outfit I had originally put on that day, I would have been very uncomfortable for all the, at the time, unknown things that I had to do at work that morning. Had I filled up gas the day before, I would not have been able to share God's love and word with that boy at the gas station that morning. We at times get so lost and stuck in our own ways and our own thinking that we forget to seek him and his guidance, and remember that he calls us to be his lights in this busy, crooked, and perverse time. Number three, labor in obedience. So my husband works 6 days a week. So Fridays aren't his Fridays, but they are mine. So on Fridays when I get home, he's sometimes singing, "It's Aloha Friday, no work till tomorrow." He never complains about having to work 6 days a week or how he comes home and cooks dinner for all of us and runs a lot of the errands, shuttles the kids to and from their various doctor and dentist appointments, or about helping to set up church on Sundays. He's tired. Most definitely. I mean, who wouldn't be? But one of the things I love most about that man and find so inspirational is that he never grows weary of stewarding all of the blessings and opportunities that God has bestowed upon him. This past Friday, he took the girls and I out to eat dinner at Genki Sushi. Josiah was at my mom's, and he hates sushi anyway, so that's all right. As we sat and waited upon those little trains to bring our food, I heard him sing, "It's Aloha Friday, no work till Tuesday." And he had such a smile on his face. He had a 3-day weekend ahead, and those are few and far between for him. And wait, I'm not done yet, but by God's grace, he was also able to take off a few days next week to go fishing. Galatians 6, verse 9 says, "And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." The reason I say is he's an inspiration is not because of all he can accomplish, but because of the heart he has doing all of it. God doesn't just look at the fact that you're doing what he calls you to do or asks of you. He looks at the heart of which you're doing it with. Sure, there are or will be times that I'm sure we will feel overwhelmed with all that we get to do, but take comfort in the fact that God has your back 24/7, 365, and sometimes 366 days a year. Whatever you face, no matter how big or how small, no matter how impossible it may seem, remember what it says in Luke 18:27, where he himself says, "The things which are impossible with men are possible with God." Number 4, labor in wisdom. So we just finished binge watching seasons 1 and 2 of Cobra Kai on Netflix. It's kind of a continuation or spin-off of the Karate Kid movies from the 80s. And so in this show, two of the main characters from the first Karate Kid movie are now grown up, and they're now parents of teenage children themselves. Now, if you remember, in the first movie, there were two karate dojos, Cobra Kai and Miyagi-Do. Each dojo both had different ways of teaching their students the hows and whys of karate. Cobra Kai took a more aggressive, no mercy, losing is not an option, win by whatever means necessary kind of approach, whereas Miyagi-Do taught the students how to stay balanced and focus and the wisdom and meaning behind the things they did. Now, just as Mr. Miyagi had taught Daniel, Daniel now teaches his students to wax on and wax off, paint the fence, and sand the floor. Well, I don't know that Daniel in the original Karate Kid or that the students in this new series ever read Philippians 2:14-15, where it says, "Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world." Because just as Daniel did in the 80s, the students today complained and complained as they went through these lessons. I'm sure that we can all say that at some point in our day, we do the same. We wonder why things need to be done at a certain time and in a certain way, when we feel so sure that we can do it in other, easier, better, and faster ways. We tend to only focus on the situations at hand or what's in front of us and fail to trust in God, all the while fully knowing he has not just any plan, but the master plan for us and works all things for our good. John 6:27 says, "Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food that endures everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him." Just as the students in Miyagi-Do come to learn, we aren't always aware of why we do the things we do. But in the greater scheme of things, lessons come from all of God's teachings. And his lessons and teachings are true and forever. We need to just be open and receptive to them and facilitate them in the furthering of his kingdom. Matthew 6:20 says, store your treasures in heaven where moths and rust cannot destroy, and thieves do not break in and steal. Consider all of his lessons treasures, and keep all of them close at hand and deep within your heart, never wavering from them and always seeking to share them with anyone and everyone. Your last point this morning is labor in love. Now Matthew 11:28 says, then Jesus said, come to me, all who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Isaiah 41:10 says, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Isn't God just so amazing? I mean, he loves us so much that even when we are only doing the little that he has commissioned us to do, which to us can seem so enormous, he is still right there walking alongside of us, sharing our burdens, lightening our load, and comforting us through it all. No matter what you do, never forget to labor in and show that same agape type of love and appreciation for every season or lesson you endure and with every person you come into contact with. In closing, whether it be in prayer, in truth, in obedience, in wisdom, or in love, labor with the Lord.
Can you hear me? All right. That was awesome. But I'm not scared of centipedes. I don't run from them. I kill them. I just dislike them. All right. We're going to be doing communion. So you can at home get ready. Over here, we can get ready. I forgot mine. Thank you, wife. Well, this week I had a kind of rough week. Tuesday, I had a mean toothache, and I went to the dentist, and he told me I had to get a root canal. And I couldn't get it for probably like I had to wait another day, and between those 2 days of waiting, like I was off from work, I just stayed home and rest. I had headaches and pain, and I was throwing up, and it gave me flashbacks to when I had radiation and chemotherapy, man. And at first I was kind of grumbling, but then I remembered Pastor Scott's message: when you suffer, you can't grumble. So then Jesus spoke to me, and he said, "Hey, when I was going through that, I didn't grumble." And then. At the Last Supper, actually, he knew what was going to happen, and so one of the guys there was going to betray him, and he was going to suffer for all of us, even how bad sinners we were. And that's the kind of God we serve, and that's how much he loves us. Even though we do bad stuff and we sin, he still loves us that much. And before we take our communion, maybe there's somebody out there or somebody here, like they're going through hard times and they're suffering. And if you want to know this God more and the God we serve, we want to do the salvation prayer for you. So over here, we'd like to bow your heads and close your eyes, and we're going to do a salvation prayer. And you can repeat after me. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. I repent of my sins and I turn to you. Father, come live in me, change me, cleanse me, make me the person you want me to be. I receive you, Jesus, as my personal Lord and Savior. And with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if anybody here received Jesus, just raise your hand. Anybody at home, if you did on Facebook land, you can message us so we can give you the packet. All right, we're going to pray. Father, you've seen the hands and the hearts that accepted you. We just like to welcome them into the kingdom. Father, may you guide them, show them how much you love them, and just may you take away their suffering, give them guidance, and let them see the love in everything that you've created. And we just give you all the praise and glory in your Son's mighty name. Amen. All right, we're ready to take our communion, bread and wine. Okay, on that night, Jesus sat at the table with his disciples. He took a loaf of bread, and he thanked God for it, and then he broke it into pieces. And he said, "Do this in remembrance of me." So everybody, take of the bread. And in the same manner, he took a cup of wine. And he said, "This wine is the new covenant with God. It's to save you, and it's an agreement sealed with the blood that I will pour out for you." Everybody think of the cup of wine. All right, let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your Son. Thank you for your love for us, just for sending him to just suffer for us, to just die for our sins, and just your love. Father, we want to just come with a clean heart to you and just ask for forgiveness for all our sins. May you forgive us and just keep on loving us, and for us, we just repent, and we just like to give you all the glory, and we just pray this in your Son's mighty loving name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right, we're going to do our last worship song. So those of you at home, stand up over here, stand up, and we're going to do our praise and worship.
You've been listening to Jennifer Arcatola of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street in Kea'au, Hawaii, and on Facebook Live starting at 8:45 a.m. Search Facebook for New Hope East Hawaii. During this phase of the COVID pandemic, we're recommending that people meet online to avoid potential virus spread. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.